Good to be back with you this afternoon. It's good to see Calvin and Eloise on the second row. When I looked up at them today, it reminded me of being on the second row when I was growing up, because my mom sat on the third row and she said I could sit anywhere I wanted as long as it was in front of her. And so that meant the second row or the first row. And so good to see both of you sitting up front, or almost to the very front. We're going to continue in our series tonight on the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit are found in Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Tonight we'll be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. And it's very, very important, obviously, for us to have that in the life of a Christian. Faithfulness is a common characteristic not only to describe us, but it is a characteristic that is used to describe God, that God was always faithful to His people. In Psalm 145 and verse 13, it says that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. So what this basically is saying is that God's word is as sure as the creation itself. God is always going to keep His word. And so when we are told that we need to be faithful, it really helps us to understand God's faithfulness, to know what He expects of us. Also in Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2, it says, I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. So God has been very faithful in history to His people. Even in the midst of some bad times in Israel, the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah could make a similar proclamation in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And of course, when you read that, you think of the song in our book, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we can see in just these few passages that there is a lot of emphasis on the faithfulness of God, and that we can rely on God. When God says something, it's going to happen, that it does. When God makes a promise, it is always kept. We can be assured that it's going to be accomplished. We can be sure that God is trustworthy. Likewise, when we look at Galatians and look at the fruits of the Spirit and we see that faithfulness is something that we're to have, it really is not real common for mankind to have the same kind of faithfulness that God does. In fact, the faithfulness of God stands, you know, in stark contrast to the faithfulness of mankind in general. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says that many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find. And so it's a question. It's an open-ended question there. A faithful man who can find that. Well, we know how scarce that is. And so we know that there's truth in that statement that the wise writer of Proverbs makes, that many people proclaim their loyalty and many people proclaim to be faithful, but finding someone who is truly faithful is rare. You know, one of the things that is truly hurtful that we see all too often is when, you know, a husband and wife, when they become married, they make promises to one another. They promise to be faithful. And, you know, it's I don't want to say it's a rare thing for that to happen, but what we see way too often is that those promises are not kept. That loyalty to that spouse is not kept, and finding someone who truly can be faithful as God is faithful. You're just not going to find that. People's words sometimes are not dependable. One of the phrases that you hear many times in the business world when somebody tells you something, get it in writing. In fact, I've had to deal with situations where I have come in after a salesperson or somebody else has had discussions with a customer, because I deal with printing equipment, and I may say, well, what you're trying to do is out of spec with the equipment. The equipment won't do this. And well, they say, well, that's not what I was told. Well, it's right here in the spec guide that's provided to everybody. So it's no secret because it is in writing. Here's what it will do. Here's the maximum paper size that it'll print. But they told me, sometimes people either don't know the truth about something or they make promises that they can't deliver. And so many times when you talk about faithfulness and truthfulness, that's why people want, your word's not good enough for me. I want you to put what you say down in writing. And so when people put things down in writing, sometimes things change. They start getting really specific, because they want to make sure their words are very precise when it comes to writing it down. And certainly it goes without saying that we don't need to talk about politicians in this regard. And the things that politicians say, the statements that they make, are so careful sometimes that it gives them wiggle room to get around what is said. So what I'm saying here is that faithfulness in the world in general, in business, in our personal lives, in our relationships, it's not always what it should be. It's not what it should be. Faithfulness is rare among people, and for a godly person, faithfulness is an essential quality. It's right here in these other fruits of the Spirit that we are told to have. But it might help us to define what faithfulness is. I think we know, but we'll look at a couple of definitions here. Webster, the authority on all definitions, says that faithfulness is firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. So adhering to promises, and certainly that is a good definition of the word. Thayer's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words says something similar, that the word denotes reliability, dependability, loyalty, and trustworthiness. And so, that's the definitions that we see, and that really fits in with what we think about the word faithful, that it means that you're dependable, it means that you're loyal, it means that you're reliable, that your promises are something that are going to be kept. And so we have a great, great number of examples of faithfulness in the Bible. Daniel is an excellent example that shows what faithfulness looks like in someone that is striving to serve God. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, it says that the presidents and satraps tried to find grounds for complaint against Daniel in connection with the kingdom, but they could find no grounds for complaint or any corruption because he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption could be found in him. And so Daniel was one that his reputation was so good that they were not able to find anything. If they were trying to dig up dirt on Daniel, which they were, they could not find any grounds for any complaint about him. And so you notice here that the author records the reason that there was no fault or complaint that could be found. It says, because he was faithful. And, notice that in our definition that negligence and corruption, those are things that are the opposite of being faithful. Faithfulness depicts somebody that's honest, somebody that is reliable, who can be trusted with what they say and what they do. And when you look at the life of Daniel and his young friends, they certainly embodied what faithfulness to the Lord was. So I want to look with the rest of our time in our lesson at three things that we need to do personally to be called faithful in the eyes of the Lord. First one is that we need to have absolute honesty in our life. We need to be honest. And this is a characteristic of God, of course. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul opens his letter to Titus. He says, "In the hope of eternal life that God, who cannot lie, promised before time began," and goes on with the rest of the epistle. But isn't it interesting that Paul starts off by saying that God cannot lie? There's not anybody that can be said about. I mean, sometimes kids are taught that George Washington never told a lie, and that's a lie, because everybody has. And there's no one that has never done that except for God and Christ. God is honest in an absolute sense. There is no deception. You know, there's no duplicity. The Proverbs show that honesty is a key component of faithfulness. And this is brought out many, many times in Proverbs when it talks about your lips and what they do. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. So you see the contrast that's made there? You've got the lying lips on one hand, and then you've got the faithfulness there. So lying lips and faithfulness are contrasted there. They can't be the same person. Acting faithfully is contrasted with lying lips. And somehow, it seems that people think that lying is really, you know, not that big of a deal. And, you know, in the example that I just used a few minutes ago, I've had very difficult situations in the business world, you know, following after people that were, I'll say, loosey-goosey with the truth and not real specific on details. I sometimes, you know, kind of give people the benefit of the doubt in that they don't always know technical specifications of things and may not have tried to overtly lie, but they certainly were sloppy in the details that they worked with. And so it's difficult to establish good relationships in business if you have what the proverb writer is calling lying lips. If you dealt with a car dealer or a salesperson of any kind, you would want to deal with somebody that tells you the truth. One thing that I hear many times today is that people would rather go to Driver's Way or CarMax or somewhere where the price is the price on the car, so they don't have to deal with a salesperson. Why is that? Because people don't want the haggle. They don't feel like they're being told the truth, and so they would rather take that, you know, doubt out of the equation. And that's probably true in a lot of the different things. And it's unfortunate that there might be certain categories of people that you feel like, well, I can't depend on this person to tell the truth. And I'll add this as well, that people that are in sales professions that are Christians probably find it difficult many times to be honest, because sometimes salespeople can take advantage of customers that may not have a lot of knowledge about something. And, you know, I'll just give one other business example and then move on from that. But if you go to a car rental company and you've reserved a car that's intermediate size, for example, and they said, "Would you like to upgrade just for $10 more a day, you know, to this deluxe whatever?" No, I'm not going to do that. My company won't pay for that. Okay, and they said, "Well, we're out of the intermediate size, so we're going to give you a free upgrade to this car." So they were going to try to get you to pay for the more expensive car if you would have agreed to do that. But since you didn't agree to pay for the more expensive car, they're going to give it to you anyway because they don't have what you reserved. You know, to me, you know, that's dishonest. And so there are all kinds of examples that I'm sure everybody else can think of where we see that today. And when Christians are employed in these types of jobs, and they are pressured by their employer. Here's how you need to handle these types of situations. It creates a moral dilemma for you. It shouldn't create a moral dilemma for a Christian to have to decide whether or not they're going to lie or tell the truth. A Christian should already have that mindset that it doesn't matter what, I'm just going to tell my employer that I'm not going to lie for you. You know, no job is worth that. And so we live in a society where that kind of thing is a temptation, either because you see a reason that you can get ahead or that you can make more money if you tell a lie, or you have others that are pressuring you to do that. When we're talking about faithfulness, faithfulness means that you're absolutely honest. And you know, absolute is absolute, isn't it? It doesn't mean that you're honest sometimes. It means that you're honest all the time. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Faithfulness is about being trustworthy. It's about being reliable. And the relationship that we share together as members of the congregation here at Elliottsville, you know, we cannot rely on each other if we can't trust each other's words. And so, you know, there is truth to the adage that a man is only as good as his word. And it's shameful that our society has become such that, you know, you used to could depend on a handshake, and you can't really depend on that anymore, and you certainly can't always depend on somebody's word. But Christians have to be different. If we break our word, then we're just like everybody else. We're just like the rest of the world. Do people trust you when you tell them something? Or you know, have you been so unfaithful to them in your words that it does, your words no longer mean anything? I think I beat that horse to death, but God demands us to be truthful so that we can be usable servants of His. Similarly, to honesty is that we need to have complete dependability. God, one of the things that makes Him so faithful is that He's completely dependable. When God, you know, calls for us to depend on Him, He's one that can be trusted. And we are also to be dependable as followers of God. As we noticed with Daniel was one that was completely dependable, so much that he became very influential in the Babylonian Persian empires. And we also, you know what it's like to deal with those who are not dependable. And the writer of the Proverbs says it this way. Like in Proverbs 10, verse 26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so the slacker is to the one who sends him on an errand. Have you ever had anyone that you've dealt with, in your home or otherwise, that if you would send them on an errand or give them a task to do, that you had the slightest doubt that it would be done? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens in our places of work. When somebody gives you a task to do, can they depend on you 100% to do that? Or do they have to, you know, they have to send you a calendar invite and make sure it gets on your calendar so that you remember what it was that you said that you would do? But the undependable person here is like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. That's not a good description. I mean, when I think about vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, neither one of those are real appealing to me. You know, both of those are considered to be irritants. And so that's what is being said here. If you're not the dependable person, you know, this is the way that you are to someone else. You are an irritant to someone else. And it's very frustrating at the least. And problematic, certainly, if you're trying to accomplish a task, if you can't have someone that is dependable. Those of you that are young and you know, first getting out into the job market, that is something that is going to help young people in a job, is to be dependable, that you're there when you say you're going to be, that whatever responsibilities that you are given, you fulfill those, and that you're proactive and look for other things that can be done. In fact, when Jarell and I have been working camps, the person that's helping us be the assistant director now, and of course none of these jobs pay anything, but the one that helps us, Jason Purcell, we didn't really know him that well until a few years ago, but he was one of the ones that really stood out when we worked together at our first camp. You know, we were at a new place, we were having some issues, and he was always right there saying, "What can I do? How can I help?" You know, he was always right there, and it wasn't his job to be attached to us like that, but he was. And so he got promoted to the non-paying job of assistant director the next year, because he was always there. He was dependable. Not only was he dependable in what assignments he had, he was wanting to know what else he could do to help. And so dependability is about keeping commitments. And, you know, our society certainly needs to emphasize the value of honesty, and it also needs to learn the lesson about dependability. I think our society in general, we have lots and lots of people that don't keep their commitments. And maybe you see something different in your environment, but a lot, unfortunately, there are lots of people that don't, you know, keep their commitments, and they're not dependable. And the people that are dependable end up doing all the things that the non-dependable people should be doing. And if somebody doesn't want to do something, you know, they think it's okay to break that commitment. And David in Psalm 15 was asking some questions about this. "Lord, who can dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? He whose walk is blameless and does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart, has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it's difficult." So we have to keep our word. We have to keep our commitments. We have to fulfill our responsibilities if we're going to be faithful people. That's what distinguishes, you know, good, godly fruitfulness from the world, and makes us dependable. That we will keep our word even when it is something that is difficult. One person said, for the person who is practicing godliness, dependability is a duty owed not only to his fellow man, but more importantly, to God. So when we put it in that perspective, that the responsibility and the obligations that we have toward others, if we treat those as a responsibility and an obligation toward God, it helps us to take that more seriously. God is concerned about our faithfulness, and he wants us to be concerned about that. Also, the third component of faithfulness is unwavering loyalty. Loyalty is about, you know, sticking with someone in good times and bad. That is a promise that is usually made when husband and wife, you know, vow to each other, you know, for better or for worse, for in sickness and in health. And we've all heard those vows many, many times. And, you know, the old dad joke my dad would say about that is, some people want to get married for better or else. And so that's the way that, you know, people treat their vows sometimes, is that it's going to be better or else, you know, I'm not going to put up with it. I'm going to leave you. Well, that's not commitment. That is not loyalty. And those statements that a couple that are about to be married mate to each other. I know that they are traditional in most ceremonies to say those things, but they are very serious because there are going to be times that are difficult. There are going to be times when maybe one or both of you are sick. And there have been many, many people that have gone through situations that have not kept those vows. They did get married for better or else. Loyalty, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, you know, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we're supposed to have that characteristic. So this is a characteristic that God wants us to have. We are to have that same character. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And, you know, when we talk about sports teams and somebody that may not have a relationship with the school, but they may follow a team because, you know, that's the hot team right then. We call those fair weather fans or sidewalk alumni because, you know, if it's a pot, let's say it's a baseball team and they're really popular, well, you know, a lot of people are going to follow them. But, you know, there are real fans that are going to follow that team regardless of how bad they do because they've got some kind of tie to that. And the same way it is with friends, I believe you see that many times. If somebody can do something for you, then you want them to be your friend. It's not specifically, you know, said in the parable of the prodigal son, but as long as, you know, he had money, he probably had friends. But when he's finally in the pig pen, feeding the pigs, it says that he began to be in want. You know, that's when he's alone. The only thing that he still has is he's got that relationship with his father that he can go back to. So there's really no such thing as a fair weather friend. Someone who stands by us only during good times, are they really, really your friend? A great example of that, of course, is David's friend Jonathan, who even went against his own father to help David. And, you know, we need loyalty. We are not to be so loyal, though, that we refuse to see the faults in one another. In fact, you know, Proverbs tells us that a friend will help you with those kind of things. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. So you understand what's being said there is that your enemy might tell you, you know, very flattering things and tell you what you want to hear, but your friend may wound you. Your friend may tell you things that you need to hear. And would you rather have somebody that told you the truth, that helped you to go to heaven, to help build you up spiritually, to help you become more mature? And so loyalty is a very important component of faithfulness. Loyalty includes, you know, rebuking each other when we need to hear that, when someone has their life going in the wrong direction. I know it's very common to hear people say that they love their children too much to punish them. And, of course, if we hear somebody say that, we know if you love your children, you punish them. You discipline them because you're trying to steer them in the right direction. And somebody that says that they love their children so much that they're just going to let them walk all over them and they're never going to discipline them at all. You know, everybody with, you know, any common sense at all knows that is not a loving response. But what we see is that this this kind of loyalty is another thing that's rare in our society. And I feel like this is a very common sense lesson. You know, this is not deep, but there's a lot of things that are very much common sense, but we have a world that's full of sense that is not common. The world is filled with friends during the good times, but few are the people who remain through the difficult times. And I've known of people in the past that have struggled with their faithfulness to God, but when they did have trouble in their lives, they came back to God because they realized who their true friends were. They realized who would come to their aid, and it was those who were spiritual, those who were loyal to them, those who wanted to help them and get them back on the right track. But their friends in the world were nowhere to be found when there were trying times. We need those kind of friends, and we need to be that kind of friend. He wants us to be loyal. That is part of faithfulness. Again, where is loyalty in marriage in our society today? You know, men and women seem to think that they can just exit their marriage whenever it's convenient. And loyalty is to stay when times are difficult and work through those things. So we need to apply these things that mean that we're faithful. Like we said at the beginning of the lesson, God is our perfect example of faithfulness. And when we use the word, I don't know that we always really define what it means. Oh yes, I'm faithful. Because we define faithful as, well, you know, I'm at the church most of the time when the doors are open, so I'm a faithful Christian because I'm there on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and sometimes I'll even come for Bible class, or I might even come for Wednesday night. And if we have a meeting, then I'm going to be there most of the time unless there's something else going on. So we term our faithfulness by just a few things. And one of the problems with that is it really doesn't go deep enough. Am I being faithful in everything in my life? Am I absolutely honest in everything that I do and everybody that I work with? Am I dependable? Am I loyal? And so probably, you know, before we began this lesson, if I just ask you at the beginning, do you consider yourself to be faithful? In your mind, you might have said, yeah, I'm faithful. But do I really do these things? When we think of what faithfulness toward God and toward others means, it's more challenging than what it may seem on the surface. Now, this is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and God is looking for us to be fruitful in these ways. And you know what? These things are so uncommon today that you really set yourself apart in the world by embodying these things. People that are honest and dependable, they are noticed. And that's, I'm not suggesting that that's why you would do these things, is to get ahead. But, you know, there are benefits to be known as a person who is honest. There are benefits to being dependable and loyal. And certainly, ultimately, we benefit by being pleasing to God, being helpful to each other, and going to heaven together for eternity. So I hope this will encourage you to put on more of the fruits of the Spirit in regard to faithfulness. If we can help you in any way respond to the gospel tonight, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.